The reading today is Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and is in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
And the Gospel is from Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1.
Praise and glory to God.
Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others? Galileans, because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts now in the way to please you, Lord,
our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Firstly, I'll say an apology or a little understanding on your part, if you would. I had a call, of course, from Tim yesterday, rather short notice to prepare a sermon that I would be sort of comfortable with. Well, I think I'm comfortable, but you know what I mean? I haven't had the time, so please bear with me, but I trust that what we share together this morning will be helpful from the Lord. It's more by way of a devotion, I guess you could call it. The theme being repentance, and this focuses on Psalm 32. Before we come to that, there is a thief who came to God, who came to faith. And in doing so, he chose to return the property he had stolen from Sue, which was about 5 years earlier. So he replaced for this family the stolen stereo unit, adding another couple of $100 just by way of compensation, along with a note in which he said, "I have found the Lord Jesus. He has forgiven me, and I hope you will forgive me too." Well, Sue, from her part, she said, "We couldn't believe it after all this 5 years. We don't know who the thief is, but we want him to know that we do forgive him. Hearing about all this, the police spokesman once said, well, it'd be nice if a few more thieves had pangs of conscience like that, which we might translate as, let there be more repentance when wrong is done. Let there be more repentance when wrong is done. Our psalm this morning, words of David, King David, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And surely we can join with David, the song of every believer in the Lord Jesus, for he went to the cross for this very reason, didn't he? That we who transgress and confess them, we know our sins are forgiven because of his sacrifice on our behalf. The sins of the world on his shoulders. But repentance calls us to take a step ourselves too. As David puts it, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The importance of acknowledging our sin. And it'll be a very exciting process, but important to do, I believe. Not always easy to do. Not always easy to see ways in which we may have offended God or offended our neighbour, our friend, our family. It's easy enough, isn't it, to see the sins, acknowledge the sins of others, to be judgmental sometimes, to be critical as we look at those around us. But for ourselves, we can so easily be blind to our faults, our weaknesses, our sins. Or we try to justify ourselves, or perhaps to make excuses. I think it takes a fair amount of humility and a fair dollop of honesty to come clean about our sin, the sin that can lurk within us. As one person has put it so simply, three steps: to say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, please help me. I'm wrong, I'm sorry, please help me. So we ask ourselves, what has been going on in my life that does not please God? What do I really need to seek his forgiveness for? What do I need to perhaps put right with another person? In going through that process, there is one vital truth we must always remember, I believe. In the psalmist's words, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So we come to that point of repenting, to acknowledging our sin before God, and determination to turn around, but against the background of God's amazing grace. We're not coming before an angry God who's determined to punish us. The parable of the prodigal son, which could have been an appropriate reading for today, but wasn't set for it, it does illustrate it so well, doesn't it? This wayward son who made a mess of his life, but eventually had the humility to return home, admitting his foolishness, his sin, his wrongdoing, but he was responded to by a loving, forgiving, caring father. Repentance that was followed up by God's grace. And this is where David goes on to emphasize the wonder of the God we come to at a time of sorrow or repentance for our sins. And he says, you, God, are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I wonder, would you call God your hiding place? I love this picture of God as a hiding place we can come to in our time of need or trouble. Just God and me in a quiet, private hiding place. Not to stay there forever, but for a while, just experiencing his care, his protection from the issues on our mind, the things that we are troubled by perhaps, and we know we need to clear ourselves of. Some might call this our quiet time of the day. I love the words we use for our confession. We've used them already this morning. We have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we've done, in the good we've not done, in ignorance, in weakness, through our own deliberate fault. And then we come to the point, we are truly sorry, we repent and turn to you. That's really laying it on the line. not in a morbid way, but just being straight with God, honest with God. And we ask him to forgive us for Christ's sake and to renew our lives to the glory of his name. So it's not just a matter of getting rid of the guilt of sin, but asking him to make a difference from here on so we can be renewed in our lives for his sake. Repentance is really a change of mind and of heart. It includes a turning away from sin and a turning to God for forgiveness and for his Holy Spirit to renew us. And he gives us freely, amazing grace or free love. The psalmist is very realistic about the sin that's part of our lives, but he moves on as we're finding to rejoice in what God has done about it. As he says late in the psalm, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Jesus had quite a bit to say about repentance too, didn't he? For example, you may recall the parable about the Pharisee, and I'm quoting here, who thought he had no need for repentance. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Then the publican nearby, on the other hand, humbly prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus taught that the repentant publican, rather than the Pharisee, was the one who would go away justified, at peace with God. So what does all this mean for you and me? I believe it means we have the privilege of being open and honest with God in a safe way, like the publican in that parable. Because God, of course, can better bless the sinner who confesses that he is a person who has gone wrong, far better than the person who tries to pretend, well, nothing much wrong with me, I'm okay, I'll get to him, I've been good enough, surely. That doesn't work that way in God's agenda. David committed plenty enough sin, sadly, in his life. We read about it in the Old Testament, but he knew the joy and the relief of his God's love and forgiveness. Let's turn to Psalm 51, and that's a good indication of how he felt in response to his shortcomings, but of God's forgiveness. As he ended this Psalm 32, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad." David knew what it was to be right with his God. It brought him comfort, brought him relief, brought him peace, and it brought him joy. And we can experience the same as we come to God in repentance, knowing his love, his forgiveness, comfort, relief, peace, and joy. We've already had our time for confession and the assurance of God's forgiveness. But in the light of these few words that I've shared with you this morning, can I suggest we just spend a few moments in prayerful silence before God, reflecting on our own lives and being right with God and the need to be so this morning. Let's just be still together. As we repent of our sin before God, through the cross of Christ, God does have mercy on us. He does pardon us. He does set us free. So let us know that we are forgiven, and so be at peace. And as with David, so let us rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Amen.